I mean, this evening. We're now noon. So now it's this afternoon. poor me. I woke up at 1:30 this morning for some silly reason, and I didn't go back to sleep. I don't know what it was. Rain. We got rain. There we go. And I'd like to introduce to you today Representative Lobenberg, who is serving her seventh term in the Texas House of Representatives. She is currently the chair of the House Committee on Elections and a member of the House Committee on Judiciary and Civil Jurisprudence. Representative Lobenberg has worked tirelessly authoring and helping to pass numerous bills to protect the unborn, most notably during the 83rd special session. Chairman Lobenberg authored the landmark pro-life legislation, House Bill 2, the Women's Health and Preborn Pain Act. Jody is a sixth-generation Texan, having family who settled here in Texas in 1861, a graduate of the University of Texas in Austin, and worked in the computer industry until choosing to become a stay-home mom, thus devoting her time to family and community service. Jody and her husband, Bob, live in Parker. We are most grateful for her tenacity and bravery and courage. And we want to know that you to know that we continue to lift you up in prayer. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all your hard work. Please welcome Representative Jody Lobenberg.
Thank you. Please sit down. Listen, I should be standing up for you. There's so much to say, and it's a real honor to be here, and I thank Dr. Joe for allowing me to come here today. Some of you may know that I was actually supposed to be here in March. He was going to allow me to speak, but the hotel where I was staying caught on fire that morning, and I confess, I don't get up at 1:30 in the morning, and so, you know, if I had gotten up earlier, I'm sure I could have gotten dressed, but I'm thinking I have time to, you know, get things done. I'm kind of piddling around, as women do, and all of a sudden the alarm goes off, and I'm kind of laughing, thinking, oh, you know, they're testing it. And then all of a sudden I smell smoke. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this is real. I'm on the 11th floor. Oh, dear. Yeah. And so, you know, your mind just kind of goes into this, what do I do kind of mode. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not going to walk out there looking, you know, like the folks that just got out with whatever they had on. So I did have to at least, you know, put a little bit of makeup on before I went out. If I'm going to die in that stairwell, I at least want to look halfway decent. So... but it wasn't enough, unfortunately, to come here, I'm afraid. Y'all would have been scared out of your wits. So thank you, Dr. Joe, for allowing me another opportunity to be here today. And I will tell you, there's so much to be said about this. You know, we have been ridiculed, vilified, told we were, you know, making things up. Well, now, what we have known all along about the culture of death, the world is seeing it, and they cannot ignore it. And I will tell you, what got me involved, a lot of folks come to me and they say, you know, ask me how I got involved in politics is, like Davita said, I've been in the legislature, I've served on a city council, I've served in party offices, grassroots, precinct chairman. But why did I do all this? Because politics is not really fun itself. You know, it's mean, it's nasty, it's backbiting. So why would you want to do this? And it's time consuming. And, you know, our jobs, Paul, my colleague here, Paul, where are you? Workman. Ah, yes. Good, dear friend. We get paid a whopping $600 a month to do this, don't we? Don't spend it all in one place. So why do you get involved? You get involved because something that you are passionate about. And I got involved because of pro-life many, many years ago. And I don't tell this story a lot, but I think it's important to know where I'm coming from and why I could stand so firm on House Bill 2 because, as Davita said, it was a very scary time. And when Roe v. Wade was passed, I was in high school. That was also the time of the Equal Rights Amendment. I know I'm looking at all you young folks, you're like, what is that? And, you know, it was women power, and we're going to be empowered, and then abortion came in. That's going to really empower us. And I went to UT, don't hold that against me. And, of course, heard more of, you know, you're a woman, hear you roar, and the world is yours. And I went off, and the computer industry was just starting out, and they were hiring communication majors and English majors because the computer, and I can say this because my husband is a computer geek, those guys just did not know how to talk to the average person, and they were, companies were, you know, losing clients because they would call the programmer, how do you turn this machine on, and they would get hung up on, you know, the programmer was so insulted, and I had to marry one so he could explain it all to me, and so they hired us out of school, figuring we had a degree, we could, you know, learn a little bit of code and at least be the liaison, communicate. So I had a really good job. I traveled all over the country. It was really neat, really fun, young. And then all of a sudden, I find myself in a situation where I have found myself pregnant. And at that time, there were no organizations. You know, we didn't really know. We didn't have sonograms. And we've been told this is nothing. And also, fortunately, at that time, there was no Planned Parenthood, no glossy, big, fancy signs. But I believed the rhetoric. I believed, hey, listen, this is going to be in my way. And I wasn't ready to get married. Okay, I know I'm telling, you know, things. But it was what it was. And I had a really good friend who was going to medical school. And so she, you know, actually did the test for me, calls me at 3 a.m. and says, yeah, you're pregnant. And I'm like, no, we can't have this, can't do this. And she said, look, why don't you go to a doctor? And I said, you find me an abortion doctor. She goes, okay, I'll send you to this doctor, you go. And so I went, told her I wanted an abortion. And let me tell you, this is before the 24-hour, 48-hour waiting period. The doctor said, look, I won't do it, but why don't you wait a couple of days, talk to, you know, your boyfriend, and then come back and talk to me. And little did I know that, you know, my girlfriend, who was in medical school, sent me to a pro-life doctor who asked me to wait 48 hours. And so, and then we hear that this is a woman's cause, a woman's issue, and men should not be involved in this. So I thought for sure I was going to tell, you know, my boyfriend, and he was going to say, have the abortion. Well, lo and behold, he goes, oh, no, we've got to have this baby. Well, I didn't really want to get married at that time. And I'm thinking, well, this isn't working out either. No one is really helping me do what I think I want to do. But God has a plan. God always has a plan for our welfare, not for our calamity. And for every single child, he's got a plan. And so he said, I want to go back to that doctor with you. Well, dang, if that doctor, he had gone to college with that doctor. They'd gone to Rice together. And they knew each other. And then they colluded against me, so I thought. And I said, well, I got to think about this. So I went home, and I said, okay. And I, you know, I grew up, I'll tell you, I grew up in a Christian family, but I didn't even tell my parents. I didn't want them to know, you know, because that was going to be a blight on us, right? And so, and I had been thinking I was in control of my life. And so I said, okay, Lord, if this is really, really a life, you've got to show it. You've got to show me. And I don't believe in just dropping the Bible and letting it fall open, and there was what God is going to tell you. But I did that night. I said, okay, Lord, you're going to have to show me here in the Bible where it really talks about life. Now I learned all my good Bible verses, but I hadn't learned that one. I kid you not, Psalm 139. I knew you before you were born. I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And I'm like, oh, okay, Lord. And that was, you know, God uses things to bring you to him. And I knew I could not go through that abortion. And I'm proud to say, you know, that was 31 years ago. I have a wonderful son. I married the man. We're actually still married. You know, the judge said, come out fighting, keep it clean. And God saved my child. And God saved me. Spiritually, he did. And all that, had there been a Planned Parenthood clinic like there are now, I would have walked into a nice little office. I would have had somebody saying, oh, yeah, it's your right. It's your choice. No, it wasn't my choice. At the moment conception is made, it's a child. And then when you go through the pregnancy and you deliver that beautiful baby, and it was tough. Let me tell you, we got married and, you know, you sort that family out instantly. I will not tell you it's easy. But God was there. And you realize, oh, God, what could I have just happened? And let me tell you, you know, there's forgiveness at every stage, whether you went through the abortion or you don't go through the abortion. God is always there to lift you up. I just want to say that. Because I did have several friends that had abortions. Remember, I went to school in the 70s. That was the thing. We did not know. We didn't have sonograms. We believed the lies. It was, you know, supposed to be the decade of the woman, whatever. But that really turned my life around. And I realized I almost bought the lie. And that is what motivated me to be involved politically. Because I saw where we were going, at least in our state, and I could do something about it. And so, you know, fast forward, get into the legislature, and, you know, we had been working for pro-life. I actually was part of the group that we began the first defunding of Planned Parenthood. That was back in 2011 under our current speaker. And a lot of folks say, oh, he's not pro-life. Well, let me just tell you, the most pro-life legislation we have ever had has come under this leadership. And when the governor put on the call for House Bill 2, which still to date, right now, is still the most comprehensive piece of pro-life legislation, not just in the state, but in the country, I went to him. And I have fought him on a lot of different things, but I said, you know what? I didn't give him my whole history, my whole story, but I said, this is important to me. I want to carry this bill. And we knew we needed a woman to carry it. You know, the men have done amazing. And Paul has stood up. He has spoken out. And my heart goes out to him because, you know, you got the wild women that are saying, you know, the men don't understand. Believe me, yes, you do. But we did know for the media and all that, need to be a woman. And I said, it's very important to me. He said, okay, whatever you need. And I said, and I can't compromise on anything. And he said, okay, whatever you want. Every step of the way. And what is amazing, you know, those of you that may know a little bit about the legislative process, everything is sort of a give and take. And you have amendments and, you know, can you take this amendment? Can you do this? Well, I did not want to take any amendments. This bill was a good bill. It really was for women's health, protection of the baby, 20 weeks. How can we argue over 20 weeks? And the protection of women in these clinics, requiring a doctor to have admitting privileges for a hospital. Why is that a bad thing? Making sure if the clinic, abortion clinic is going to give you the abortion pill, that they follow the protocol. Why is that a bad thing? Maybe I'm just a blonde and didn't understand. But I thought, it makes perfect sense to me. I don't think there's anything we need to compromise on. And I wouldn't do it. And, you know, the opposition, and we had to go through this thing twice. You know, we hear about Wendy Davis doing her 13-hour, technically it was really only 9, because they were arguing the last few. But we had to stand, I had to go through this twice in the committee, and hours on the floor. And I wasn't just standing there reading stuff. It was like I was on trial with every opponent of abortion, I mean, every abortion opponent coming at me. I had to know every little nook and cranny. They try and trip you up. And then they always bring up the tough questions that men always just, you know, very nervously, oh my gosh, Jody, can't you take this one exception? No, I really can't. Y'all are going to have to stay with me. You're going to have to vote with me. And we had over 100 different amendments that we had to fight off. Not one of them got on the bill. We passed that bill. But we did it. It wasn't just me. I can't say that I stood up there by myself. I could have only done it because there were people in the gallery, our folks, who were praying 24/7. You talk about, it really was a colliding of spiritual forces, of evil and goodness. And God is, our God is a God of life. Satan is over death. And this was clearly life versus death. My colleagues, they stood up. It was like, I felt like Moses, you know, they were all holding my arms up when I was so tired I couldn't even, you know, see straight. The speaker, the lieutenant governor, the governor, every one of them backed me up. And yeah, you know, when you get up there and you're talking for hours and hours and hours and they're asking you questions and people would be whispering in my ear, answer this. Yeah, you get your tongue tied a little bit. No, my gosh, they went. I said something, which I really didn't say, but they twisted that and said that I said, what was it I said? They said I said, going to the hospital, the rape kits would cause an abortion. That's not what I said, but they twisted it. Oh, well, so what? Well, that was the first time. And then came the filibuster. And she, at the end, the roar, it was so loud in the Senate, the roar when they were trying to end the filibuster. It was frightening. It really was like the pit of hell, this giant roar coming out, the last scream to hang on to their culture of death. It's really what, if you had been there, you saw, you heard it. Amazing. So we had to start it over again. And I'm like, Lord, I don't think I can do this. I called Senator Hager, and I said, Glenn, are we going to do this all over again? He goes, oh, Jody, I don't know. Because he took it up in the Senate, and it was tough. They went after him. And who, by the way, he is now our comptroller. And where, exactly. And where is the pink tennis shoe lady? Crickets. Haven't seen her. But he said, all right, I'll do it if you do it. And I said, okay, I'll do it if you did it. But that really was the Lord that gave us the strength to do it again. Because, you know, after Wendy did her 9-hour reading a script filibuster and then went on the, you know, the talk show tour, Glenn and I had to stay back and do it all over again. It's like, Lord, I think you really want to make sure people understand what this bill is all about. And so fast forward today, we did pass a bill. And what is so interesting, why they were fighting so hard against the bill, among other things, is they're scared to death of the direction that the 20-week ban would take us. We heard, oh, there aren't that many abortions going on after 20 weeks. Oh, it's really nothing. Well, what are we hearing today? What are they doing? Harvesting the organs. And in order to get a better organ, you need it more developed. Think about it. They knew something that we didn't yet know. And also, what is also interesting is we took the direction. You know, they tried to say, well, it's all about viability. Yes, but we're not even talking viability at this point. Technology is on our side, and we're talking about pain. That's why it was called the Preborn Pain Act, because technology now allows us, sadly, to see that that baby does feel that abortion. And see, the abortionists don't want you to know that either, because that's a new direction that the Supreme Court can take a look at. That it's no longer can the baby survive out of the womb, but it's what is the baby feeling when it's being ripped out of the womb? And what are we as a society going to do about it? We can no longer hide and pretend it's nothing or that it feels nothing. We are being held accountable. And I believe that's what God is doing today. He's showing us what this industry is really about. And it is a culture, a gruesome culture of death. But we didn't just stop there. As Dr. Joe said, we don't rest on our laurels in Texas. I got you. I know you got me started. We passed even more legislation. We will continue to do that because you can't stop. The other side is not going to stop. And the fact that you are here today, you don't realize how many lives, young women, babies, that you are saving because you are allowing the information to be out there. It wasn't out there when I went through my situation. I wish I'd had an organization like this that I could turn to. That sure would have helped. But, you know, God uses us right where we are. But he also shows the importance. And you're showing the world your compassion. It's not just don't have the abortion. It's going alongside of that woman throughout her entire situation to help her. To help her beyond the pregnancy. That's what you're doing, and that's what we're doing. So I'm going to open it up for questions. I mean, that was kind of my story, and I appreciate you letting me share that. And I guess I hope I haven't talked too much on the time. But it was a very scary time 2 years ago. But I think if I could stand up there and get a little bold, as you saw, many of my colleagues, you didn't see my name on any of these bills. I had one. But there were so many others that were such good bills. And so they all want to, you know, I think I encourage a lot of other folks to get out there. If I could get out there and stand against all the screaming and hollering and, you know, made fun of me, made horrible fun of me, a lot of other folks can do it too. And they are. And you're seeing that Texas is leading the way. We have defunded Planned Parenthood before any other state. So, thank y'all.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, the question is, what role did Alliance for Life play and have in the legislature, in particular during House Bill 2? Well, Erin can tell you, we were calling her constantly because she was the legal beagle. All the things that they were challenging me on, you know, that, you know, I couldn't do this because the Supreme Court said that. And Erin was our resource. The fact that Dr. Joe, he is a quiet, gracious, sort of steady, floating through the legislature, giving encouragement, letting other House members know what's going on, just keeping us informed. Resource on information. Even though I'm in the legislature, I don't know what half those laws are, I confess. I mean, you can't. And so, you know, Aaron gives us all the technical backup that we need. And Dr. Joe, you were down there just, it would be nice to see you in the hallway, smiling, saying, you can do this. And he did. And just rallying people to pray, having folks surround the Capitol. You know, we had the Satanists down there. And even the, you know, chanting, what was that chant, Ab? Hail Satan, that was it. They were chanting Hail Satan, but our folks were praying. And to the point where even the Satanist church in England had to denounce this group. So does it make a difference? The fact that he lets you guys know you need to be down there. Huge, huge difference.
Thank you. I also want to mention one of our board members, Thomas Umstead Jr. Where are you, Thomas? There he is. He was down in the extension, in the rotunda there in the extension, and they were having their own little prayer rally, and it was being streamed, live streamed from the Capitol, and we had those, that's where the Hail Satans were down there. So he was down there with our groups and other groups praying to counteract that. So that was awesome. Somebody else? Mrs. Umstead.
Sure. And, you know, Aaron can probably give me more information, but what we have right now is part of the facilities part of it got challenged, and so the court said that a couple of the clinics down in the valley could stay open without the standards. Now, why is it that poor women should have less quality standards than some of the more upper-class neighborhoods? You talk about discrimination. And so that's the court basically is upheld. The appeals court basically upheld most of the bill, practically all of it, except for those one caveat. And I guess the Planned Parenthood folks now are looking to challenge it to the U.S. Supreme Court. Is that right, Aaron? Aaron can probably give you more of the legal.
Anyone else?
Joe, you want to address that, or do you want Aaron to address that?
I can see her just going.
Okay, so the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals did uphold basically all of House Bill 2, the ambulatory surgical centers, medication abortion, and the admitting privileges. But except for the caveat where a facility in McAllen could stay open. But the Whole Woman's Health, which runs another chain of abortion facilities in Texas and across the country, they applied to the Supreme Court for a stay of the Fifth Circuit's judgment. So the Supreme Court, pretty much right before they left for their break, put a stay on the judgment. So basically the ambulatory surgical center standards are not going to be enforced against any of the ambulatory surgical centers which are open right now. The admitting privileges are being enforced, except for McAllen, and then the medication abortion regulations are being upheld, as far as we know, but the Supreme Court comes back into session in October. So they will decide, they can either take the case and make a decision about what to do with the Fifth Circuit's ruling, or they can decline to hear the case, in which case the Fifth Circuit's judgment will go back into effect and the ambulatory surgical center standards will be allowed to take effect everywhere except McAllen, basically. So that's where we are.
Yes.
Okay, so the question is, what they found in the Houston clinics is they were actually doing the abortions between 18 and 22 weeks, which is, yes, against the law, and that is why the Attorney General is involved in investigating it, absolutely.
Let's all give her a big round of applause. Thank her very much.